they've lost weekend here at Get This Around the Nation on Triple M. Good morning, everybody. Welcome aboard. It's myself, Tony Martin. Finally coming good. The head Cavalier, of course, the basketball coach we discovered yesterday. The White Shadow, we're calling him. And pushing the buttons, Richard Marsland, the only man from the road team not to go over to the United States. We'll be investigating that later. Get on today's show. You could win.
Gift vouchers worth $1,800. Liquor, apparel including women's underwear. And most bizarre of all, a mask which changes voice to sound like Darth Vader, the villain from the Star Wars movies.
Yes, it's the Mayor of Darwin prize back.
What a booty.
That's got to be great, isn't it? Why aren't you over there in the States with them, Rich?
I don't know. I mean, I'd love to be. Obviously, I've got my Get This commitments.
Mm. Oh, that's true.
And
that's right. Who would be pushing buttons?
The old saying in the showbiz world, never have a sick day, never take a day off.
No, that's true. It's very true, Rich. Ed would have to push the buttons if you weren't here, and we all know what happened the last time.
And I'd also have to wear your two-tone brown T-shirt that you've decided to sport underneath.
Yeah.
An orange striped polo shirt today, which I like.
Many, many looks of Richard Marsland. You know, we can talk about that all morning, and I know we've got big issues to canvas. Why were there canned laughs under the Flintstones?
While we're discussing off air.
Talking about that off air.
I didn't know there were jokes in the Flintstones until Richard just told me then.
But what about this Hennies case? We've not really talked about it on the show.
I don't know anything about this.
Well, who knows? Is he innocent? Is he guilty? That's not for Triple M radio announcers to decide, I'm guessing.
Isn't it?
But
yeah, I think the federal police were making some markings in Tim Zura's diary as well.
Oh, really? That's what I want to talk about. A new bungle has emerged in the investigation.
So what's Hanif been up to?
Well, listen to this. AFP officers wrote the names of overseas terror suspects in Dr. Hanif's personal diary.
Okay.
So they took some notes in his diary.
Okay.
Only to later grill him during an interrogation over whether he had written the potentially incriminating notes himself.
Even though they were in different handwriting,
that's right,
assuming a different pen.
Now, how did that happen? How does that happen? Well, luckily, we've managed to obtain the recording.
What, an exclusive?
An exclusive recording of the interrogation. Check this out.
Now, Dr. Hanif, very interesting list of names in the back of your diary here. Just for the record, did you or did you not list the names and contact details of several suspected suicide bombers, that's right, in the back of your own personal diary?
No, I did not.
Is this or is this not your own handwriting?
No, that is not
my handwriting. Come on, Dr. Henning. What? Well, my apologies. Turns out that is Officer Rivington's handwriting. He made that list himself due, no doubt, to a shortage of notepaper in the department. He was obviously forced to make his notes in the back of Exhibit A.
What about the fact Is there anything here that hasn't been done by us?
There's conducting the investigation in a competent manner.
Quiet, Hanif.
That was actually me, sir. Doing my Indian voice.
Well, so we've got anything on this bloke at all?
Well, we do. That shot of him and his wife with that shark at Darling Harbour Aquarium.
Shark? What sort of shark?
Great white shark.
The ocean's most notorious killer.
That's the one.
Oh, looks like your dick, Dr. Hanif. Let's see the photo.
Here we go.
This is a shot of you and the boys from CIB coming down the water slide at Wet and Wild.
Sorry, that's the other one down the path.
Oh, this isn't over yet, Hanif.
It is winter. Phone, which breakfast radio announcer did you get to do the Indian's voice?
Oh, I can't reveal that.
Really?
Oh, that's a beauty.
Could have been anyone.
Can't reveal both sources. Good to see Sergeant Zura on the case.
I just see Inspector Remington getting a go.
All right, back to trivial issues next. I'll get it.
Well, it's Lincoln Park.
Sorry, still rehearsing this break. Here it is on Triple M. Around the nation. Morning, everybody. Passengers joining us. That Simpsons movie comes out this week.
Oh, man. Yeah.
Do you suppose the Prime Minister's excited about that?
Simpsons, government stands.
Short bus.
Oh, hang on.
We're interested in renting short bus. Thank you, Richard, for setting that up.
One of Ross Noble's favourite films.
Is that right?
Oh, he loves it.
Ross Noble will be in later to berate us for mentioning it.
Now, I have to point out, we've never recommended the film.
Have you really?
Yeah. I stand by that.
We've got to be careful what we recommend.
Yeah. I finally Flavors has emailed in, real name, and said that I watched Short Bus last week.
Yeah.
And I don't know if we are geniuses or not. Let's go with geniuses. I've never seen a guy get into that position before, although it did give me ideas for several new ones. Isn't that nice? Little known fact that the shot of the faces of the women in the film, they're having real orgasms.
Oh, is that right?
No, they are.
So, well, that'll give people ready. You can confirm that, can you, Richard?
I did the late night show, of course. I remember everything.
All right. No, there was another positive letter about that film.
Yeah.
I'm having trouble finding it amidst all the negative ones.
Right, I'll get behind it soon.
Here we go. It's from Dirty Sanchez.
Hang on.
Page 26. He liked it when we had John Howard yelling out, "Your mum's your dad!" Parliament. He's berating us for not mentioning Sheffield Shield cricketer Ian Wrigglesworth.
Sorry, that's a massive oversight.
Listen to this though. P.S. I quite enjoyed Short Bus and the fruit that it offered.
Oh, yeah.
My missus and I hired it, and then after watching it, we shagged.
Oh, yeah. You could do a double feature with Short Bus and that other real sex film.
Bambi.
Nine Songs. And then Bambi.
Oh, right. All right, so you're going to get us recommending Nine Songs now.
Yeah. And then Intimacy.
Yeah.
Don't forget Intimacy.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was the first film where real gear went into proper cinemas and that.
I'm sure there was one before that, wasn't there?
No, not only just like proper fruit.
All right. Midnight Run, there's a good night in front of the telly.
Anyway, Tone, what were you saying?
What I was saying was this Glenn Wheatley business. He's been in prison for a week there. And what I love it is because the Murdoch papers, they love nothing more than a rich person being in prison and then running a comparison of what they have to eat in prison as to what they have in the real world.
Yeah.
But, of course, nobody's actually been able to get a list of what it is that Glenn Wheatley eats when he's not in jail. So there's just this kind of, they had to do these tenuous links. So in the Melbourne Herald Sun on the weekend, you have this phrase in the newspaper. Wheatley's breakfast was cereal and toast. And then a quote. Certainly a far cry from smoked salmon and scrambled eggs and freshly squeezed juice at a Department of Corrections source.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, there's no suggestion that that quite detailed and intricate and specific list is what he normally has.
No.
So someone at the Department of Corrections has just come up with a list of stuff.
The breakfast expert.
That they might have if they were rich and they were living outside of prison.
Absolutely right.
You just say anything. His breakfast was cereal and toast. Certainly a far cry from 12 post-impressionist masters and a plate of freshly cut diamonds, said a Department of Corrections source. I mean, that's just as an authentic comparison.
Absolutely.
Makes this as much sense. His breakfast was cereal and toast. Certainly, said a Department of Corrections source. Makes just as much sense. Just as accurate. Then we have in the Australian, this is a beauty, this was in the Australian yesterday. According to Corrections Victoria, the state spends $204.50 a day.
The price of a good lunch at a top restaurant.
Yep.
big time.
Looking after its prisoners. That's a pretty expensive lunch, isn't it? Well, even for like a top restaurant.
It's not Sizzler. I mean, if they're saying top restaurant, they mean Sizzler. But then, for $204 at Sizzler, Rich, we could eat salad bar for the rest of our lives.
But there's no evidence or even suggestion.
We have as much moose as we want to.
Glenn Wheatley spends $204.50 odd.
No, it's not.
It's just a serious comparison. Then I love this sentence. The amount spent on the daily prison diet for each of the state's 3,900 prisoners, including toast and cereal for breakfast, is less than Wheatley might formerly have left as a tip. He might. But that's like saying,
hard evidence.
The amount of money the US government has thus far spent on the surge in Iraq is equivalent to the amount of cocaine George W. Bush might have sucked up his nose while in college.
Wow.
The word might, I mean, that's a great word to be able to fling about in a newspaper article. He might have left that as a tip. Anyway, we'll be following the weekly menu with some interest.
I have been thinking about toast and cereal for the last few minutes, I must. I must confess.
It's an occupational hazard whenever you mention food. There's any part of the story
that you can tell. Yeah, absolutely. Tell you what, are we allowed to plug there?
You're sitting here thinking about tax evasion and what it can get you. Wow! $204.50 worth of
Sizzler. Fantastic.
Are we allowed to plug what?
Well, when we talk about breakfast cereal, I always talk about my favourite breakfast cereal at the moment. Then I got in trouble. People in promotions were telling me, oh, we should be getting money for that. Rah, rah, rah.
All right.
I want to say D. Smith's Food from the Bush. So
make of that what you will. So you've been doing this for over a year and you're slowly starting to work out
how cash for comment works.
Yeah, you've got nothing yet. Once you start down that path there,
really?
You know where it ends.
Jonesy?
Flag waving country.
Oh, no.
Don't go there. Oh, thank you. It is this here. Get this around the nation on Triple M, brought to you by the Nissan Navara. What a 4x4. Huge pulling power, rugged good looks. Functional, but fun to drive on the weekend. Yeah, hadn't considered that, had you, Eddie?
Not at all.
Not at all. What about this snorkel you're saying? Well, snorkel buffs, including Scott Griffiths, said, look, being a bit of a car nerd, the snorkel is used to protect the car's airbox from water when, for argument's sake, driving through a river.
You're right.
The snorkel is well above the car. It allows fresh air to get into the engine.
Fresh air.
I probably won't hear this, so please don't bag me too much if you happen to mention this fact on air.
Ooh.
All right, Scott Griffiths. You baby broker!
Oh, man. London's in a flood at the moment. You can even drive through the River Thames with the Nissan Navara.
There you go.
The snorkel would come in extraordinarily handy.
Yeah, so right.
Have you seen the photos of the River Thames?
No.
It's overflowing.
There it is.
I mean, and it's just changing London in all kinds of ways. In fact, even the famous Thames television theme song has changed.
Yeah, before the show, he said to me, is that two-piece week to go to air? And I've gone, do you ever listen to this show back, Richard?
I've done it. Yeah, it is.
Does anyone remember the Thames TV theme?
Yeah, we do now, don't we?
Good on you, Rich.
Of course we do.
Rich. Okay, for that. Obscure television theme.
Yeah, Ross Noble will, I'm sure he'll be singing that theme. In the next hour, have you got an email there, Mr. Cavalier?
I've got many. The emails have been coming thick and fast. And thank you to everyone. Matthew Barry writes in and says, for your segment prelude to a fart, what about trying to make the setup as obvious as possible but still fooling your housemates?
Okay.
So he's brought an add-on.
Now, for people who don't know what prelude to a fart is, this is you can feel one coming on.
Yeah.
Rather than just be, socially unacceptable, why not
make an event out of it?
Yeah, leaven the unpleasantness with a witty line just before the event occurs.
Does anyone know how to turn this computer on?
Thanks very much. Sorry, very poor fart. Pardon me. I'll roll the sleeve up for any further ones.
Okie dokie. Does anyone know what's wrong with this door?
That's got it.
All right. So anyway, here's Matthew's example. Throw a pen across the room from the doorway to your housemate's feet. Exclaim loudly that you've dropped your pen, then walk over, bend over, and seal the deal. For best results, wait until they have a mouthful of food.
I'm sorry, I wasn't sure if that was a cue or not.
No. You took your own cue, and I like that. So thank you, Matthew Barry. We will incorporate that.
Cheering the last mouthful of food.
Yeah, that's lovely.
Now, producer Nikki suggested, what about prelude to a shag?
Lovely.
That's based on that wonderful letter from Scott Griffiths.
It's a lovely idea.
It's hard to top the one from I, Melon Partridge. Remember when he has sex with that woman?
Mm.
He switches the light out, and you hear this line, what battle commence?
That's a beat. Hard to be.
Hey, have you got some news?
You've got some news to do with our producer, I believe. Is that right?
Well,
she is pregnant after all. Yeah, how that happened.
She's pregnant. We might find some interest in this story in the United States. Yeah. A mother who planned to eat her placenta.
Oh.
This one. Does that really go on, does it? Well, I've heard of
it. Yes. What does it taste like?
I didn't eat. But
can you bring it in?
People they do.
We'll give it away, mate.
Let's do that. Can we?
No, that's probably not. What can we call that promotion?
Center of attention.
We'll come up with something.
There you go, promotion. Promote that. No, but it does go on. I think a lot of. Well, anyway, so she.
Why would you. Is it good for you?
Yeah, that's what I've heard. It's got nutrients.
Is it just to let the kid know?
Look, this is what I'm prepared to do. Don't give me any trouble. This was a bit of you at one point. Well, the court, she's going to have the placenta now, so she can eat it if she wants. The court ruled that previously that she couldn't because it was classified as, or maybe the hospital classified it as contaminated biohazard waste.
Oh, right.
The court ruled that she's going to get it dried, ground into a powder, and then packed into capsules. Placental hormones apparently can help control postnatal depression. But she's going to bury it anyway. But I've heard of this happening, as a matter of fact. In fact, a friend of mine, what they did is they froze the placenta. And I said, well, how long are you going to freeze it for? And they said about a year, something like that. And then maybe chow down when there's nothing left in the pantry. But until then, it makes a lovely memento of the birth. Yeah. I always thought the baby was a pretty good memento of the birth.
That's true.
You know what I'm saying?
Something to remember the birth by. You know what you could do? You could freeze it and then serve it at the kid's 21st. That'd be nice.
And then show home videos of placenta's first steps. Placenta's first meeting with Santa Claus.
Placenta Claus. Oh no, is Red Fleet here? Is it out of the pool for everybody? Time to go to a break. The program has been soiled. That's a problem. Everybody around the nation, welcome back. No matter what your ad break is doing, if it's still going, I apologise if I'm talking over the top of it. Let's get this on Triple M. Tony Martin and Cavalier, Richard Marsland. There will be a new podcast going up later today. Somebody here, Paul Four. That could be a real note. He wants to know, when are we going to put the Doctors on Perth sketch? Dr. Freebie, I think that was called, about doctors in the group of the pharmaceutical companies.
Where's it looking? Turns it on?
Well, it's on podcast 102, looking for it, but he wants to email it to his doctor. I'm sure he'll appreciate that.
His doctor will probably send him back a racist joke if
he's lucky.
To believe, so.
But now, what are we up to? Now, what I'm going to say is we're going to put some more sketches on the prior offences on the website.
TripleM.com.au.
Yes, we'll refresh the offences this week, I promise you.
Now.
Yeah.
We've got a song coming up.
Yeah, we have.
And I feel it's the best time to announce that Richard's favourite band, Daughtry, will be supporting Tony's favourite band and the tattoo that you have that says Nickelback across your forehead.
Yes.
They're getting up to, they're touring together.
Oh, really?
Imagine that.
Daughtry and Nickelback. She hindered me feeling left out, wouldn't it? What did we do wrong?
What does life have to do to get on that bill?
Well, okay, well, that's good to know. That too is coming. Just on the podcast, I know you've been having iTunes trouble, Mr. Marsden.
Yeah, but I fixed it all up, as a matter of fact.
How did you do? Did you contact a 9-year-old child?
I almost had a dial a nerd. I almost put the solicitor out on air, maybe just to get someone around my house.
Yeah.
What? And just to come in.
Does that work?
Just to come and fix my computer. With payment, obviously.
All right.
Yeah. But anyway, I fixed it up myself. I had to download a new version of Mac OS X. I have no idea what that means.
So, and so you had to listen to some of the podcasts that you've been missing?
Yeah, loved it.
And what was your reaction?
Well, I've got to say.
It's not over. The song.
Sorry, I'm just standing in a cliff face in the rain.
Of course you were.
Just come back in.
Why wouldn't you be?
I'll just turn the big circular fan off.
No,
your hair was flowing.
Richard, we need more Richard Marsden, don't we?
Do
you think the nation needs more Richard Marsden? Well, it was your idea. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, no, I think with the television show. Well, the actual nation, not the TV show.
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah, the country, Australia, does, yes, basically.
But for a moment, did you think he was replacing Akbar?
A bit, yeah.
No, I'm talking about the country at large.
Oh, big time. Big time.
And where are we going to sort that out? Up Talkback Mountain. Today, what is the topic going to be? Ed said,
quick as you like, way to raise Richard Marsden's profile. The Rogue team. Is it just you? Who's back at the office?
A whole bunch of the writers, actually.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, wrote a lot of jokes about being in New York. From Rogue broadcast.
Well, we're here to help today, Rich. How can he do it? How can he get more heat, more buzz?
Okay.
Nightclub incident. Something like that.
Yeah, that's good. It takes two. You go on there with one of the singers from Indecent Obsession.
Oh, and actually, Ian David Dixon.
Yeah.
Any other, that's the only singer I can think of.
In the wetsuit.
Let's do it. Oh, yeah, like on the cover of the album.
Yeah, that could work.
It seems to work.
Yeah.
Or Tahini Cozzy and the other ones.
Or possibly just Millsy.
Yeah, yeah, that'd be nice.
What about running for Mayor of the Gold Coast up against Warwick Capper? But now Linda Lee has written in to say, check out the Women's Day online website. That's safe for work, I think, that one.
Fair enough.
Oh, my God, quotes from Warwick Capper about his run for mayor. I'll be so sensational, they'll probably want to put up a 50-foot-high statue of me right in the heart of surface paradise.
People can bungee off it. It's normally what happens with towers on the Gold Coast.
He's just had 8 centimetres of his famous mullet cut off and he intends to auction off the cuttings for $5,000. Says Warwick, I read somewhere that a lock of Napoleon's hair was sold at auction for thousands of dollars. I reckon if it's good enough for Napoleon, it's good enough for Warwick. We're both about equally famous.
That's true.
Warwick was a better general.
So you can get a lock of Warwick Capper's hair for $5,000, but you can have him come around your house and you can get the whole thing
for
$300.
$3,000.
Sorry.
In the garage. You will strip in your garage, not in front of men and not on a grass surface for $3,000.
You could go to a David Beckham soccer match for the LA Galaxy.
I watch them quite a lot.
David Beckham played 12 minutes.
Yeah.
So for the whole match, they're showing, oh, look, Katie Holmes, doesn't she look bored? Oh, is that Eva Longoria pretending she cares about soccer just so she can stand next to the box and get in the shot? Oh, my goodness, a shot of a man sitting on a bench?
Fantastic. What do you mean he played for 12 minutes?
He came up for 12 minutes at the end, had one kick, place went nuts, a star is born.
Yeah, right.
You could do, Rich.
I guess you could do that. Just one kick at the end.
I'd like to hang out with Nicole Kidman and Keith Urban at the footy.
In that quote I read out, he started referring to himself in the third person. So when the bad start...
It's good enough for Warwick.
Is that assuming there's more than two people in the room with him at the same time? Who's singing around him?
I don't know. What about...
How about Divine Brown?
Yeah.
Divine Brown, let's just hear me out first, Rich.
Exactly. In context.
Just hear me out. In 1995, Divine Brown did some stuff with Hugh Grant in a car.
Yeah.
Now, since then, you'd think she's gone nowhere. Not true, Richard, not true. Women's Day this week has reported that she's since raked in $1.86 million US from publicity alone. $1.86 million. She's done media interviews and movies such as Sunset and Divine, Marvel and Divine, The British Experience, and Divine Brown, Million Dollar Hooker. Richard Marsden, $1 million panel off.
That's a small price to pay. Just get arrested in a parked car with Hugh Grant on Sunset Boulevard.
No one's going to remember that, Rich. I'm sure you did some stuff you're not proud of 12 years ago to be cashing in on.
What were you doing 12 years ago? Was that sidekicking at Ken Wills on the Adelaide Morning TV?
I was in my first year of university.
No.
12 years ago.
Wow.
Getting acting. No, not at university at all.
Did you get boob implants when you graduated? Like
the Italian girls.
But they do.
Which I did.
Yeah.
What about getting defamed by Alan Jones?
So, Rich.
Tony sitting over to Jonestown.
Round dish, eh? Okay.
So, all I have to do
posed off.
Is get caught in a trip with Hugh Grant.
Yep.
Get some new boobs put in.
Yep.
Hang out with David Beckham.
Boy.
Can I put a YouTube video out?
Sure you can.
Can I have a policy on climate change? Can I put that up on YouTube?
Listen to this. Former Assistant New South Wales Police Commissioner Clive Small has agreed to a confidential payout, which will include costs estimated at more than $1 million bucks after being defamed
by Alan Jones. What did Jones say about him? Well, according to The Australian today, Mr. Small sued Jones after a broadcast in 2004 that implied he, as a senior police officer, was responsible for murders, shootings, kidnappings, drug deals, and carjackings. It's now quite a schedule for an assistant police commissioner to press conference. Oh, just trying to get down to that intersection. Somebody with an unlocked driver's seat.
Now listen, that's perfect for you, Rich.
And this is the adult radio.
Yeah,
this is the trouble they're getting to on the adult radio. Down here at the shallow end.
What do you reckon, Rich? You could make some serious cash.
Yeah, I'll give it a go.
Just point Jones here a bit. He'll have a crack. Millions of bucks.
Just get one of them, you know, crane things to, you know, up outside the studio when he's broadcasting. Do a bit of a flag wave.
A flag wave. Flag.
Whatever he says, that could be a mill for you. What about saying something that's just patently idiotic?
Okay.
Like David Rain did, this was a clip. I know this happened, I think, last year.
Yeah.
But they ran the clip again on Media Watch
program.
Richard Snagger, check it out.
I don't really understand what a placebo is, but it seems to have saved them. And wouldn't it make sense that every time a trial like this takes place, that there's a placebo on it? Well, the placebo is just an inactive agent. And so it's a pretend. I don't see it as a cure of some sort.
Yeah. Someone who just fills the seat till an extra one comes along. Does that make sense now?
It does. All right, there we go. Well, lots of good ideas from us.
But to me, just the tip of the iceberg.
Mm.
Ways for Richard Marsden to raise his national profile.
I mean, I'm already doing so much. I feel a bit awkward because it's all about me. I'm just telling you,
right? We're not all about you, right? Call down with your ideas. This is 1-3-3-5.
Mark, you know,
this is Around the Nation on Triple M, where we're trying to help out our panel operator, Richard Marsden. He's feeling left out. The rest of the road team, which he writes for, have gone over to LA, only to make it be just him and the cleaners, basically. All right, yes, and some of the other riders behind. So,
but you're the prettiest rider.
I've always thought so.
It's so pretty.
All right, testing condoms for jury. There would be another way to raise the profile. Who's got some ideas here?
Hi, Kevin.
Oh, g'day, gentlemen. How are you?
Excellent. What can you do?
I'm calling from the Hoy Rollers room, the Kershaw Arms in Wollongong.
Oh, man, you can still have a smoke there, can you?
You can still smoke, but you can't gamble.
Fair enough. That would be insane. What can we do for Richard?
Oh, he could give his SIM card to his cousin.
Again, some sort of interrogation mix-up where, a whole lot of crimes that someone else has written down in your diary could be attributed to you.
This might be on names like Tony Martin and Ben Cavalier.
Oh, yeah. You don't want those. No, it's going to lead to trouble. Hey, what's happening this afternoon down the Kershaw Arm?
Sweet FA.
That's right. That's up on the blackboard. Beautiful.
Thanks, Kevin.
Thanks, Sam.
Nice to talk to you, mate.
G'day, Adrian.
G'day, guys. How's it going?
We're really good, mate. What can Rich do?
Hey,
Sorry. Multi SIM card.
Hang on a second.
Multi SIM card.
Adrian, start that again, bro.
Just innocently enjoying a night out at the Rabbitohs game and a few too many ales and getting knocked out by Russell Crowe.
He's a master of one-liners, and with his precision timing, we will be guaranteed plenty of laughs.
How would you provoke him, do you think,
I reckon you should tease him about his haircut, mate. It's pretty average.
Okay. What's he sporting at the moment?
Oh, he's got a bit of a long hair, a bit of a, you know, all over going on. So.
That's the thing about Russell, and he's also wearing that Benjamin Braddock jumper all the time. He's been wearing that for about 2 years.
Yeah, here we go, Adrian.
He's got about 17 of those in his wardrobe, I reckon.
Isn't that a deliberate ploy that he does so that the photographers won't be able to sell the photos? Because then they send it to the magazine, and then think, oh, we've had these one before.
Not a bad idea.
Yeah, it's actually quite a good idea.
Well, that's been my ploy for the past
year. I've
been wearing the same jumper over and over again.
It's been working. So the paparazzi, who's next?
Hi, Riley, how are you?
How are you, fellas?
Excellent. What can he do?
I reckon the old mate, Mars Lando, can just hit Celebrity Big Brother up. Get kicked out, and there's nothing better than doing nightclub appearances afterwards.
I've done some nightclub work too.
And
also susceptible to migraines. So I could really hit Celebrity Big Brother.
Now, there hasn't been a Celebrity Big Brother for a while, has there?
No.
Who else would you like to see in there with Richard, do you think, Riley?
If we could dig up Kershaw, that would be great.
Dig him up. I think he's still alive, bro.
He is alive, is he?
Yeah, we don't have to exhume him.
All right. All mid-80s synth pop stars. Jones, Kershaw, the bloke from Dead or Alive, Newman, Lamar.
Hey,
he's looking very bizarre these days. He's had his lips done by Barrowfield. Have you had a look? A bizarre look.
And he got married as well,
did he?
I love it.
He burns.
Hello. Thanks, Riley. Hi, Jared. How are you?
Good, thanks, guys. How about yourself?
Well, we're excellent. What can Richard do?
Well, I'm thinking he could maybe go to Kirribilli House, get one up on Peter Costello for a start, and then maybe get caught in a compromising position with John Howard.
Kirribilli House, I don't think he goes there very often, but I don't know, Richard, are you willing to...
I've been to Kirribilli House a few times at dinner.
Actually ordered seconds with Joe Hockey, as a matter of fact. Yeah. Yes.
Well, should we ask John Howard what he thinks of perhaps some Monica Lewinsky asking from you, Richard?
Yeah.
Not keen.
Not that into it.
Not that into
it. No interested in attracting a stunning from Richard.
Okay.
Who's next?
Hi, Mick.
Hi, guys. How you going?
Hey, good. Thanks. Please clean it up a bit here. What should Richard do to boost his profile?
Well, first and foremost, I believe he needs to get himself into the intro for the show. Then when you go on air, you drop in, and Richard's pressing buttons as well.
Yeah, that's true.
He needs to book some time with Matt Dow. That's what will happen for himself.
You know what the problem is? That gap in the Hive song has only got enough room for two names. But we're moving on now. Hey, where are you calling us from?
Uzbekistan.
Oh, well, see, you're in luck because there's some new billboards going up.
There are.
Brisbane only, I think, in August, where Richard is elevated to co-star status, finally.
How about that, Mick?
Well, that's about time, I believe.
And he's got his hands in his pockets too, Mick, which is nice.
Yeah.
Well, you know what I'm saying.
It's history for everyone.
Oh, it's going to be a great opportunity for graffiti work.
When we're taking the photo, Ed's going, mate, put your hands in your pockets. You look good. So I'm sure that won't come back to bite me.
I don't know. Right. But I'm defacing fun.
Well, thank you, everyone,
for the month of August.
Great idea.
Great suggestions. Thanks to everyone who called in. In the next hour, a man who is always full of good suggestions. We love it when this bloke comes in. Ross Noble. We've really decided to try and get as much noble as we can in this hour. So we're running for time. Here
I would go for action figures, you know, because if you think about it, like, you know, you've got so many different aspects. There's you dressed as the many different characters on Raw.
Very good.
Whereas you could have a proscenium box set.
Oh, yeah.
You know, with interchangeable gothic hairstyle.
The Kung Fu Turkish grip. And live action panel op motion. One where you just push a button and he hits buttons.
Or what about ringtone?
Oh,
what about your phone ring?
What about your age? And were you on community TV this morning? He's a kingpin of the free-to-air community television. Channel 31.
Yes. It's a high-run today show.
But there's that other one, isn't there?
A Raw?
That's
on the one of Fox.
Yes.
It's like, there's a brilliant show all about four-wheel drive jeeping. The jeeping hour. And it's just unblown. But it's not like, it's not shot in the kind of a fiction type of way. It's just shot in. Oh, you want to put the dick in there and drive it up the hill.
Got a skid kit. Sure. A cameo on there behind the wheel of a four-wheel drive Black Thunder.
Here's an airbrushed car.
Okay.
It's like a Nissan Pulsar Marsland. Because they brought out the Barina Sports Girl in the 90s and the Pulsar Reebok. Why can't you get
there?
It's
an
airbrush, huh?
Like Mark.
You know? Tubi, good idea. And speaking of TV shows, you've requested a phone topic today, Ross. We're going to do it tonight.
Yeah.
Of course.
You and me are going to have the phone.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're
Yeah,
any conversation on the phone can end up in a segment on air. The obscure TV show.
Yeah, no.
I reckon you've got a few in the back.
I'll tell you what, can I
do? Oh, but it's sizzle coming up.
I've got here for you. Hey,
what's this?
I'm opening it up. It's two photographs for you.
What are they?
Oh, it's Rich Barney and Bob Grant from All the Seed of On the Bus.
Very young looking.
Which isn't the actual Norbit. It's just a dog called Norbit.
It doesn't saw a dog in a head.
No idea. So it saw the dog's leg off, and then it just chews on it. And then, that's wrong. And so there's a statue in Blackpool,
right.
In England. There's a statue of Richard de Vere standing there, all like the magician. Look at me, I'm full of magic and mystery. But with a St. Bernard next to him, because he's sporting this big statue. And I was climbing on that one in the middle of the night with a little man, 4 foot tall, and he's little, who sounds very much like my
God, tight your pal, get out there,
So I'm climbing on this thing, and then a fella turns up in a sort of a security van, screeches to a halt, and it's outside a place called the Pleasure Beach.
Ooh, yeah.
It's
sure bus right away.
It's like a theme park, uh-huh. And it's called the Pleasure Beach and roller coasters and stuff. And this guy pulls up. It's a very long winded story, very little payoff, but he goes, oh, get down off there. You're not allowed to climb on Richard de Vere. So I climbed up, and I noticed on the side of his van, because it's the Pleasure. It was called the Pleasure Police. This is the gear sounding security.
Very tight uniform.
I'm on Richard de Vere. But anyway, the woman that's on the statue here, on the top of it, she said to me, she just went, oh, I know a bloke with pig's nipples in a restaurant. I was talking to him at the gig. He went, I know this bloke. Come and eat them. So next thing you know, I'm in a closed down restaurant, like a restaurant that was shut for the day, with this man feeding me like sheep's brains and stuff.
And were they? Was it a high quality sheep's brain?
Absolutely disgusting.
But you can't eat brains. To me, I always worry they might be still thinking as they're going down.
What's happening to me? What's happening here? You do a bit of a pose.
That would be a great film. Wouldn't that be an excellent, like a sort of like in a mimic sort of a style? You know?
Yeah, that sounds
good. Too many good ideas.
Somebody write that one down.
Too many good ideas, and we're under the watchful eye of a photograph of Frank Butcher from EastEnders that Ross has brought in. You got a bit of Frank Butcher there? That's him.
You're I don't need this song effect, but I'll just do it.
Gratuitous Frank Butchers and more on the way.
Here
and get this. Some good show.
He's not me back. Tell me it's raining.
It's Ross Noble doing Gratuitous Frank Butchers from EastEnders. Can we have a bit of Frank? Here, Ross is telling me we're talking about great British comedy duos of the 80s.
Yes.
And you mentioned both Cannon and Ball and Little and Large. Now, can I ask, are those like their real names? It was just a coincidence that someone who's named Cannon hooked up with someone called Ball.
That's the only way it happened.
Yeah. Surely not.
Well, apparently, I think Cannon and Ball were both welders. That's what I love about all those kind of 80s comedy, like anyone that came from the UK that was a duo, they all met in factories.
Right.
So, like, it's kind of like usually one of them is the funny bloke, and the other one's like, you know, the fella that used to, like, hand him the oxygen.
And you're telling me now that both Little and Large and Cannon and Ball are now Christian evangelists.
Yeah, they've found the Lord, and right. They travel around doing, like, exactly the same act, but it's all being tweaked for a sort of a comedy, for a sort of Christian.
So on Sunday morning, you can get, instead of going to church, we can go off to see Cannon and Ball?
Yeah. And it's, you know, it's that whole sort of, can I sing myself?
You cannot. I'm going to do a nice hymn for the nice ladies and gentlemen. Oh, come on, darling. Let me sing a song. No, I'm going to sing about our Lord Jesus.
And what about Hale and Pace? When will they be converting?
Hale and Pace. They're idolaters.
Of course they are. They come out here a fair bit. They're always on the tour.
I went to them. I feel a bit.
Did you, John?
Yeah. Well, you see, this is the great thing. Like, in the UK, you can see all of those people that you saw on television for years, and if they're still at it, they're still hammering away. And you can just
John McCartney, nip up to Blackpool, end of the year, and you see all these people go, hey, man, why?
There was a lot of great footage recently because I think Bernard Manning might have died.
Yeah.
And was he like the king of those guys?
Yes, really? He was the fattest, most racist, most horrible human being. But yeah, and he was always, his big voice was Bernard Manning. Oh, well, I've never died in my life. I've never done a show when I've died.
You're right.
Live.
Really?
Yeah. Absolute lie. He went to India. They did a documentary where they took him to India. Let's take the most racist comedian we can find. Take him to India. See if he can make people over there laugh.
There they go.
I think that was very funny.
No, he meant to humour about themselves.
Yeah, that's the problem. They dealt with everyone. You know,
people.
Yeah. Horrible. Horrible human being. But yes, he died.
Well, there was a show when I was a kid. Sorry, I'm segueing too early into obscure things.
All right. Because
we got a show in New Zealand. Used to go out about midnight on Fridays called The Wheel Tappers and
Shutters. Wheel Tappers and Shutters with Colin Crompton.
I don't know who it was. I was about four.
With a hair called Drake Ford. Donald Trump style. And he would ring the bell. Ding, 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 ding.
And what was it? That was like on location from a real working man's club up north?
Yeah,
or was that faked up in the studio?
No, I think they did that at the Embassy Club, actually. But yeah, no, that was, but there was another one. Did you have the good old days?
I don't know if we had Joker's Wild.
Oh, Joker's Wild, yeah, with Barry Cryer.
Barry Cryer and Liz Dawson.
Yeah.
But I don't know, what was the one you just said?
The good old days was that. It was filmed in the Leeds City Variety, which is like an old-style musical that's been in its original, its original condition. But everyone in the audience had to dress up as if they were in Victorian costumes and in Victorian types. And then all the acts would come up.
Who did that?
But they would do their normal acts, but just with the top hats.
And all everyone in the audience would come along in period gear.
It's a
great idea.
But how would they have it at home? They have to sort of fashion
it. You know,
once in a week.
Yeah. Read some olden days gear. Go along for a night in the theatre.
Yeah. And that's, you know, that's what's missing from television now. Unnecessary period.
That's true. I just must quickly thank you, Ross, because I spoke to you on the weekend on the phone and our fridge had just blown up.
Oh, yes.
Had a fridge for 20 years, finally carked it. And I'm telling Ross this and he gives me some very, very good advice.
Well, the first thing he said is, and this just shows a man who doesn't particularly live in the domestic world, I'm guessing.
Yeah.
I'm more obsessed with the television and movies. And I thought, what a touching thing. He went, I've got to get a new fridge. I don't even know where you'd get a fridge.
Well, Ken Bruce has gone completely mad is where I would normally go. Now, we love the retailers that have gone completely mad, Ross.
Yeah.
But, you know, when it actually comes to buying a fridge, you know, is insanity the first option?
They're good. That must be a fridge.
But what would you tell me what your advice was? Because it was brilliant advice.
My advice, because this happened to us, we bought a new fridge. Make sure, because you can get all these fancy, fancy fridges. Make sure you get one that holds your fridge magnet.
That's right. There's a lot of them made out of this silvery material now.
Yeah.
It's not fridge magnet compatible
repellent.
Yeah. And Ross tells me on the phone, I've never heard a man sound that. And he goes, because we've got a drawer full of discarded fridge magnets in our place now.
Very disappointing. I would buy fridge. I've got some of the most amazing fridge magnets from all around the world. You know, why take photographs when you can just buy it already done in a magnetic form?
You know, what's going to hold your pizza menus up there on the side of the fridge?
But in England, we don't have. You know, this was the thing that I got very excited about when I first came to this country. Is the fact that we, you know, how you get magnets with the names of businesses on.
Yeah.
You don't have that.
Really?
No unsolicited magnets dropping through your shop. When I discovered what people give you free fish magnets.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't matter what's on the fish magnet. It's just, you know what I did? I took some of those free fridge magnets, took them back to the UK. Put them on the fridge back there. So he had I think it was Wollongong noodle box. It's just on the fridge.
The wife went out and she knew what she was doing and she bought us a fridge. And look at this, I'm looking through the instruction book. This fridge we've got goes into Sabbath mode. Presumably for the Jewish refrigerator customer.
Different religious settings. Can you set it to kosher? Where it instantly koshers all your food.
Well, look at this. To activate the Sabbath mode, press the compartment select button on the temperature control panel for 10 seconds. When the product is in Sabbath mode, the light will not operate when the door is open. The door alarm will not operate.
the display will not be illuminated. Opening the door will not affect the compressor or fan.
But it's still on. Yes. I mean, it's still freezing stuff. I mean, is the Lord making that sort of differentiation? As long as I've got the light off, I mean, I can still have the fridge on. I can still use electricity to power the fridge, but if the light's on, I'm not going to be happy.
I don't believe you, but it's something that's not like that.
Is there a little drawer where you can keep the body of Christ?
a little wine dispenser.
Just a thing for wafers and
body of Christ.
Is there a... That would be a nightmare, though. It's surely like with Passover or Lent.
Lent, it won't accept any food.
You can't open it. That is fantastic. Well, thanks for your fridge advice, Ross.
That's sound advice.
But let's get back there, shall we? Obscure TV show. Yeah. Start thinking of them, listeners. We want as many as we can get. Here at Get This. Get This on Triple M around the nation. Ross Noble gave me some very good advice when you're going to buy a new fridge. Take a fridge magnet with you.
Yep.
To see if they're magnetised. Wife did that and apparently looked very suspicious on the security cameras going up to every fridge and just testing it with a magnet.
But solid advice.
But which one did she choose?
The Fisher & Paykel with the...
No, I meant the fridge magnet.
Oh, which one did she take?
I don't know.
Have a Labrador.
It says a lot about you.
You
got a Labrador fridge magnet.
Yeah, I think it's one at the head of a Labrador.
Yeah.
It's expanding. It's an expanding.
Is there room underneath the bottom of the fridge for the dog to get the face in to get the crumbs out?
See, when the old fridge went, all the crumbs were vacuumed away. Dog not very happy.
Well, you know that Labrador that was crossing the road in the Tour de France?
Yeah.
He was going after a crumb.
That was a hefty lap. That bike came off second best. Did you see that footage?
I did.
My wife burst into tears, literally, when she saw that
the dog didn't look bothered.
No.
The dog looked a little bit pleased with itself. The dog looked like it had gone.
It's a good one.
Yeah. But surely... So, what, you got rid of the fridge?
Yeah, well, they take the old fridge away.
What you should have done there, right? A couple of bricks, put the fridge on top, the old fridge on top of the bricks, out the back. Every morning, roll the bread, scrap some crumbs under the bricks.
Lovely.
The dog's in heaven.
Lovely exercise. Yeah, I didn't think, but enough fridge talk. We're here to talk obscure TV shows from the past that maybe people have forgotten or only half remember. For example, one of our listeners has sent one in somewhere. Where is it? Oh, hang on. Frank Patterson, that's a real name.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, no, that's Sea Patrol. Someone's called in about Sea Patrol. Do you ever see that show?
I haven't seen that yet.
This is sort of slightly different topic, but a good one nonetheless. Why is it on Sea Patrol, where they have the most up-to-date equipment and modern communication systems, yet in the Navy comms room with Steve Bisley, you can hear typing. Someone's just put typewriting in the background.
Maybe we don't know yet, but Angela Lansbury the disasters she wrote. She's just in there. She never upgraded. Or even Stephen J. Cannell.
Oh, yeah.
From
the logo at the end. Ripped out the sheet of paper. Run it through the air into the form of his own initials.
Yeah. Which is not too dissimilar from the Thames television.
Yes.
But
you got that because the Thames River.
The Thames.
Gone
the way in there. But listen to that, right?
Here's the new Thames logo.
Yeah. Stephen J. Cannell, that's not far off.
Do you
do a lot of those little things?
Yes, have you got a bad role back?
What about Ubu Productions?
The family
of
Good job.
Perfect.
Yeah, great one.
Yeah. Oh, often they look around with it, like the Gracie Films run at the end of The Simpsons. You always wait to see if it's going to be like Mr. Burns instead of the normal.
I made this.
Yeah, oh, that's you.
Is that the Drew Carey show? They do that.
Have you got one of those? Like at the end of your extremely long and highly recommended randomist DVD.
I put the DVD on and put it on the randomizer.
It has a randomizer.
Baffling.
Whoa.
It was fun. Wow.
Four dances, ladies and gentlemen.
It was like continuously walking into a conversation that was halfway through with Ross.
I recommend you put it on as you go to sleep, like a hypnosis tape. Just put it on. Just let it all 50.
Wake up and go, Angry Panthers. What?
you need a logo at the end, just you ripping out the paper from the typewriter.
Yeah, you want a statue.
Yeah. Enough about the end bits. Here's the email I was looking for. This is from Matt Bunnell. He remembers a 70s cop show from the US called Holmes and Yo-Yo. It was an everyday buddy cop premise. The fantastic twist was Yo-Yo was a robot.
That's a good idea.
Buddy cops, one of them, a robot, Carl Stefanovic Scott. Only ran 13 eps, according to Matt. See, that's the kind of stuff we're looking for. Can you remember any, Ross?
My favourite obscure one, I don't know if you got it over here, was the bottle ball.
What was that?
Well, it was a sort of poor man's on the bus.
Oh, that was already fairly poor man.
It's basically the music used to go, look, eggs and butter gone and all on the flower. Anything you want, love, just leave me a note. A knock, a ring. When you hear the noise of the rattles of the bottles of the bottle balls. And working on the premise that, you know, on the buses they had to go out. Well, they were on the bus, and then all the ladies would come and get on board.
Yes.
It was like all the ladies came to there. Well, obviously, you know, who is more sexually active than a milkman? The 1970s milkman.
Going by British comedy shows, the people who get the most sex are firstly the Swedish. For some reason.
Yes, we
are.
Window cleaner.
Window cleaner. And then the milkman, who's always around a tap tap. Hello, Mrs. In we go.
Good morning. And the lady there in a sort of, always a little bit of a furry, you know, just around the top. Like a boa type.
A nightie with a boa.
Yeah, a feathery top.
Nightie. How long must it take the milkman to do his rounds?
That's why there's no milkman anymore.
All shagged out.
All curdled. So the bottle boys used to hate knocking on doors and stuff. But I seem to remember it was kind of studio based.
Oh, no.
Kind of like the same front door.
Well, that is the kind of thing we're looking for. It shows that you can, maybe you think you dreamt it. Maybe it wasn't even a real show.
Yeah.
Just on the very edge of your memory, we want to hear about them. 1-3-3-5-3. I just heard him say this sentence off air. Quote, I just bought all the MacGyvers on DVD.
All of them, Rob.
All of them.
Every series. I believe they're on special offer at a popular video emporium.
There's an offer you can't resist.
The real question, Ross, is have you started your LOLO collection?
You know, if only there was some sort of offer, you know?
Well, what about shows? These are shows people have heard of. We want shows that people barely remember. Who's got one, Ed?
Hi, John.
How are you?
Oh, we're excellent, sir. What do you got for us?
Small Wonder. An android. They used to shove in the water up at the end of the night and turn her off.
And this was a comedy show?
Yeah, about 20 years ago. So.
And what sort of stuff did the small one get up to?
Trying to pretend that their daughter wasn't an android.
That's right.
And I think there might have been some robots experiencing real emotion towards
them. Oh, yeah. We hate that. We hate crying robots on the show.
Oh, bicentennial man.
And why did they have a robot daughter?
I think the father worked at some electronic company.
That's right. He invented it. I remember that.
You'd think he would just, like, if they were trying to cover up the fact she was a robot, maybe just turn her off.
Yeah.
Stick her in a box. The trouble is, if you did have a robot daughter, would the temptation to stick fridge magnets to appear would just be so
overwhelming? Well, not irresistible.
Thank you, John.
Thank you. Who's next?
Hi, Sean.
Hi, how you doing, guys?
Oh, mate, we're excellent. What have you got for us?
There used to be a show back in England called The Staggering Stories of Ferdinand de Burgos. they used to take old black and white clips from newsreels or movies or whatever and then just dub over it. But I always used to use the best regional accents in England, like proper Yorkshire or Scouser accents, and just do a comedy dub over.
Do you remember that, Rob?
I do remember. Very funny.
It was very funny. Just one more thing, Tony. What you should have done with your old fridge.
Yes.
Take all the shelves and the drawers out.
Yep.
Lay it on its back. Oversized esky for when you're having a party.
There you go.
I can't leave it around.
We don't even have children. So something bad will happen.
Yeah, no, good way of stopping the misbehavior around your house.
That's true.
You know,
that's
making a bit of noise.
And if you've got small wonder, come over there.
It's time out in the fridge.
The Staggering Adventures of Ferdinand de Barcos. Can we go more obscure?
Hello, Paul.
Hello.
How you going?
Good, thanks, mate. Willing and able. I have absolutely no idea. Just some rubbish that was on the mid-80s about two scammers, which I thought they lived on a houseboat. Could be wrong.
Oh, right. Scam is not necessarily detectives.
Oh.
It was Shane Withington and Grant Dodwell, both from, I think, Country Practice.
Really? Oh, really? God, your memory's better than me about it. It was just garbage, absolute garbage.
Was that low-speed barge chair thing?
Get in the way.
Oh, there's a lock.
Unbelievable. Just one other thing, Ross. That I made this thing was 10-13 Productions at the end of the X-Files.
Well, Paul.
Thanks, guys.
Good stuff.
There was David Essex.
Yeah.
David Essex,
yeah.
A popular singer. He had a show for a while around a sort of a canal. If you're talking canals, it's sure. I was talking Stephen Deer Canal. But he had a show where he played a bit of a ladies' man lockkeeper.
Oh,
he used to wink at the ladies on the barge. But that's just the start.
How did they teach that to him? David, we've got the show on the arm your career needs.
He used to wear like a sort of a neckerchief sort of a thing.
And you would touch them with a barge pop. Finally, that phrase made sense. Have we got another?
Hello, Helen.
Oh, hello. Hi, guys. How are you?
Very good.
Do you remember, by any chance, a show called Hammy Hamster and His Adventures by the Riverbank?
This was a real hamster that they used to put into a boat.
Yeah.
and it was clear that they went through about 1,000 hamsters.
Yeah, because only one other person, apart from my brother and I, remember the show, and I was starting to think that, you know, I imagined it somehow.
They're the best ones. And what would the hamster do?
He went on the river and he just had little adventures. I mean, I was pretty little when it was on, but it was always stuck in my mind.
I think the answer to that, he would look terrified in whatever situation. It was clearly like he was sleeping, and he would go, oh, what time are you up to now? Put him in a boat, and he's up there, right, shake him.
Yeah, that constitutes an adventure.
Yeah, that was.
And could he talk, Helen?
Oh, look, I can't remember. I don't think so. It was like a sort of a narration over the top, like your Thomas the Tank Engine type thing.
And I see Ringo Starr has been, because I know Richard's been trying to master the Ringo Starr impression.
Oh, beautiful, yeah. Ringo.
He's been bugged.
Right.
Somebody else taken over,
and the fat controller's not fat anymore.
Oh,
he's down. Yeah, they just call him like the controller. But the way to get Ringo Starr, the way to get Ringo Starr is to say the Thomas and Percy jumped into the station.
That's the way to go, Rich. Come on.
Thomas and Percy jumped into the station.
Well, it's getting closer. It's less Peter Harvey than it has been in the past.
Oh,
the phones have exploded here, Ross. We have so many more callers to get to. Play a song, Richard, and we'll be back with more calls in a moment. Thanks for the memories and what memories we're bringing up today.
Apparently, Pierce Brosnan has taken over the narrating of Thomas Pesson.
Oh, can you do
Thomas.
It? I'm getting tickled. Well, you'll have to work on that one, Richard. Obscure TV shows. Our listeners have got them. Who's going next?
Hello, Rad.
Go ahead, boys.
There you go. What do you got, Rad?
Popped on call. Yeah. Just want to say the Boswell family from Liverpool. Red. The Boswell family from Liverpool. Rip off the social security. And it was a really dysfunctional family where the mum would run the show. And you had the kids, you had Al Everline, the sparring model, the Slick Jack, Billy who knocked up the whole street.
Lilo Lil,
that's correct. And this was Freddie Boswell's other half.
Can you remember that theme music?
Gotta get up.
Yep. All right, sell it. The game's getting out. You're losing.
Yeah. And did you know, here's a little bit of interesting bread-based information. The guy who put, you know the guy that, in the letters with the sort of the older guy that drove the old Jack with the blonde hair?
That was Jack, wasn't it?
Was he the oldest one, Jack?
The oldest brother, yeah, he was the slickest.
Yeah, the slick guy.
Family, yeah.
He left acting and went on to direct the film Sliding Doors with Gwyneth Paltrow.
So there were two Jacks, actually. I remember that.
Yeah, no, that's right. Because the first guy, Carl Howman, he left.
Carl Howman, he left to split the atom.
Yeah, Peter Howman, Carl Howman.
I just want to say one more thing, guys, if I can.
Yes.
Getting on to the last topic regards to lifting Richard's profile.
Yes.
If you do that, he can run for the Senate, for South Australian Senator, because he's made Adelaide significant now.
That's true. He certainly has. He's drawn attention to such features.
He certainly has. He's a champion.
The Beale Gardens, obviously one of the popular gay beats over there. Luckily, the sour doesn't go out in Adelaide.
That's where the launch party will be.
All right. More TV shows, please, Ed.
Hello, Rob.
How you going?
Excellent. What have you got?
A show called Star Blazers. It's like an anime sort of cartoon series. Mm-hmm. And, I don't know. It was pretty wacky. I remember seeing the first episode and going, oh, I can't believe this. It was like a battleship in space, but it was round at the back, so it had a normal spaceship back thing. And it had cannons and all the whole gear, and it was just so ridiculous.
Battleship in space?
Yeah. And I had, you know, like this wave motion gun, and there was all these different characters, and we ended up liking it after a couple of weeks, but
we've trapped in your flat.
Well, pretty much, yeah. It was the one I was after school.
Fair enough.
Well,
thanks, Rob.
I just got one. I remember Help, It's the Hair Bear Bunch. That was the one that kept us trapped in our bedroom. Oh, it was, I can't remember, but it was wacky bears at the zoo taking on the evil zookeeper, who was inevitably, as it was a Hanna-Barbera cartoon in the 70s, voiced by Paul Lynde.
Mr. Peabody!
Yeah, I think was his character, really.
Yeah.
Who have we got on the line?
Hi, Paul.
G'day, guys. How you going?
Right, man. What have you got for us?
It was in the 80s, an old American series about a detective and somehow makes someone out of a computer and he becomes his sidekick.
Oh, is this the one Holmes and Yo-Yo that someone was talking about earlier?
No, it was more like it looked like a Tron. It looked like a offspring from Tron.
Yeah.
And the car was,
yeah, there was a car.
With fluoro lights around it.
Oh.
And he used to turn the corners really quick and the detective would splat against the side window and no one knows. No, I haven't found anyone who can remember.
This is an auto man, is it?
Auto man. He'll take us for Auto Man.
It might be Auto Man.
Yeah, that used to have a very, very quick turning car. That could do 90 degree angles.
And did they have a Commodore 64 at the start? That's where he was made from.
Well, now you're pushing it.
Well, we know Tron style could be Auto Man with a Commodore 64 at the beginning. We'll get our researchers onto that.
Thank you very much.
Have we got time for one more?
Yes. Hello, Lisa.
Hi, how are you?
Great. What have you got for us?
I've got a really obscure one. Mm-hmm. Does anyone remember BJ and the Bear?
The truck driver and the orangutan.
Yeah, BJ McKay.
BJ McKay.
Yeah, and Sheriff Lobo.
Sheriff Lobo, that's a separate show, is it? Or?
No. He was in the first and second series.
Yeah, he got his own spin-off.
After that, he got
it. Yeah, he did.
It was ill-conceived as the Enos spin-off from Dukes of Hazzard.
Yeah, while I was actually waiting to speak to you guys, I had a look on the computer, and there's actually a BJ McKay fan club.
That is unlikely, but I'm assuming that's true.
There's not enough monkey bear shows. In about 1980, they brought all these like laws in about like mistreatment of monkeys, and, and it went from being like your monkey bear show. That was the cheapest show. People would go, oh, monkeys bear cheap. No, you know, don't have to worry about not like kids where you have to, you know. And yeah, they stop bringing in all these laws. Yeah. Don't get monkeys dressed up.
No more roller skating.
Which, you know, quite frankly, and then now, for monkeys, you can't...
We're not in a union. We're living in a anti-monkey nanny state, is what it is.
you chimps, right? You want to use a chimp in a TV production, can't use one over three.
Because they turn bad.
They turn bad, really?
Yeah,
because they get all fruity in there.
And then they start, you know,
they get on the crystal meth.
Yeah. There aren't any working chimps outside of America.
Well,
wow.
Rhesus monkeys.
Yes.
I have worked with a rhesus monkey.
Yes, I have.
And there, but, you know, again, you know, to get to a certain age, that's it. And the amount of restrictions on, you know,
can dress them up.
Is that monkey hygiene?
Well, that was the good old days where you could do what you want with a monkey on television.
Exactly. The good old days where you could do what you want with a monkey. I know I start sounding like John Lord or something, but I remember the days when you could do what you like with a monkey.
John Lord is retiring. I'd like to think you'll be throwing your hat in the ring, Ross Noble.
Certainly will.
Too many callers to get to. They were all gold, but we've never run this late, not even on previous Ross Noble editions. More music, and we'll be back to wind things up in a moment. Get this. Winding up another round of death is here at Triple M. We're disgracefully running late, but we don't care because it's our last chance to speak to Ross Noble in quite a while. Where are you off to, Ross?
I'm back in the UK. I want to be next year.
What are you up to in the UK?
I'm going back to do some
stand-up comedy show.
Thank you very much. Think of me as a human kind of worm.
Well, I'll tell you what is a can of worms, and that's the four-disc set that is Wang the Member. It's a beauty. You can start watching it now, and you'd still be watching it when Ross gets back from the UK.
Right.
And now, I understand it's meant to be at a reasonable price.
It is, but I've noticed that a lot of shops have decided to put it. They've bumped it up.
Oh, well.
The shopper, you're not caught by it on the worldwide interweb.
Yeah,
you
can
do that. What's the other one?
There's Sonic Waffle and even earlier Unreal Time. It's all Ross Noble Gold. You've got to get into that. And I believe, I know we're not allowed to say too much, you might be popping up on Thank God You're Here in coming weeks.
Yeah, I'm on Thank God You're Here.
Very nice. That's out of the bag. Thanks for coming in, Ross. Too much fun.
Yeah, it's the same we pushed by Crocs from the company's legs.
Oh,
and also, you'll see me get a slip of game that'll get this reference.
Oh, that is all my dice for again. There's a treat coming weeks. Well, thank God you're here. Thanks for coming in. Thanks to everyone who called. And I believe Matty D has bagged up a key phrase.
The egg about it got them all on the cloud. Anything you want, I'll just leave me a note.
Go get a knock,
a ring. Where you hear the noise of the rattles of the bombs of the boom.